So we are holding on non-volatile base, having just learned the limit of how we from the plus of Tava Shemele Kim about Shemele Sismei Naya.
Right.
So that was one version of it. We had in it, we had Rabbi Yochanan's version that the Vaitzav means dinin, means dinim, Hashem means birkas Hashem, etc. He also Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came from Israel to Babel, Tani Ipcha, he learned the other way around. He flipped around two of them. Vaitzav zavar tzichav melekim zu dinim. In Rabbi Yochanan's version, you had Vaitzav meant dinim, and alekim meant avodah zarah. In Rabbi Yitzchak's version, it's the other way around. Vaitzav means the issur of avodah zarah, alekim means the issur of dinim. By the way, I mean, a number of Mepharshim say it's not that we're literally learning the things from this pasuk. In context, the pasuk means exactly what it sounds like. Maybe she's telling Adam not to eat from the Eitzadat. But we use it as an asmata. We use it as a dash.
Why is it in verse 10?
I'll tell you in a second what the Ramah says about it. First, let's see why he inverts there, or how he gets the inverted. Bishleim Elikim Zudin, and I can understand how Elikim can come to mean Dinin just Ibn Hikar Bala Baisal Elikim. Because we said that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Elikim means Dayonim. But where do we get that? Hello? Where do we get that? How do we get the word that Vaitzav should mean Avodah Zarah? Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So Rav Chista and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi argue about that point. How we can get that? Where is a pasuk that expresses that relates the word Vaitzav or the Shurish Tzav to Avodah Zarah? And we'll see in a second. Instead of in Rav Yechanan's version, it was Vaitzav El Adini, because the manasha Yitzav as bond. In their version, in Rabbi Yitzchak's version, Vaitzav is Avodah Zarah. So where do we see Vaitzav is related to Avodah Zarah? So Rav Chista of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, fifth line of the wide lines on Nirnvavam Beis. Rav Chista of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Chad Oma, one says we can learn it from the pasuk Sorim Ahem and Adair Hashet Tivisim Otsulam Shemer, that by the Egel, which says to Moshe, the Jewish people quickly turned away from the way that I commanded them, Tivisim, and they made for themselves an Egel. And the other one brings a pasuk from Nevi'im. Oshuk Ephraim. Ephraim is being wronged by his enemies. Ritzut Mishpat. He's being crushed by the Ebishter's judgment and punishment. Kihoyel Holoch Acharei Tzav. Because he decided to follow Tzav. There was the Tzav, the Tzivuyim, the commandments of the prophets of Baal, who told them worship these idols in these ways. So we see again that the word Tzav can have to do with Avodah Zarah. So the question is, my binayu, what's the nafkamina between Rav Chista's and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi's understanding of whether we learn from the Egel or whether we learn from the Pasuk in Hesheya? The answer is, ikka binayu, the nafkamina between them would be, akum sha'asa v'dezorah v'lei shtakala. What if a goy makes an idol, but he doesn't actually worship it yet? Is he chayim? Is Yehovah and Shevim?
That's why they get a different interpretation.
Lamanda alma osu, according to the opinion that says that you learn from osu l'ham Egel ma'secha by the Egel, m'shasasiyah m'chayim. That means as soon as you make it, you become chayim. That's considered. But according to the opinion that learns it from that they decided to follow the tzav, following it means actually worshiping it. Ad ozel basro polachlo. Then a goy would only be chayiv after he actually follows it and worships it. So that would be the nafkamina. Now, what is the nafkamina before we continue with this discussion about if a goy makes an idol and doesn't worship it yet, whether he's chayiv? Let's also deal with the question. So, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan, who learns dinim from Vaitzav, and Avodah Zarah from Elikim, and Rabbi who does it the other way around? So that Ammar actually points out an interesting thing in one of his trubas. You have machloikas rishonim. There's two different machloikas rishonim about this matter of dinim that goyim have as one of their shevim tzivinayim. Number one, in general, what does it include? That Ammar holds it just means the dinim means they have to have court to judge people who are over on any of the other six. According to the Rambam, they have no responsibility, the Bnei Noach, to set up courts to deal with monetary matters and whatever. As long as if somebody steals from somebody else, then they'll punish them because that's one of the Shemites in Bnei Noach. Everything else people can do as they wish without courts. The Ramban argues with that and says that no, what it means is they have to have courts to deal with Dini Mamanet in general. Then within that, you have another machloek that's Rishonim, which is what legal system do they have to use for Dini Mamanet? One opinion is they can make up whatever legal system they want as long as it's fair and equitable and whatever. The other opinion holds that they actually have to follow our Dini Mamanet, which would actually mean, by the way, it would mean that large parts of Seder Nezikin are relevant to them. It's interesting, actually. You know, at some point,
they do it, just, I think,
well, to some extent, but no. I mean, the, you know, American law, for example, is based on English common law, which in turn, I guess, is based on Roman law or whatever. It's not. No, it's not really.
American law is based on some of it is code, some of it is common law.
I understand, but the point is, in other words, it's not necessarily doesn't necessarily follow our Dini Mominis in certain way. It has certain points of similarity, but it's very different. According to that mandama, according to that opinion, they would actually, in order to properly be observing Shemitah and Nenayah and do dinim, would mean they have to be following our dinim mominus as laid out for us in the Torah and in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch.
What is this mandama?
I don't remember. That's what he holds. That's what it is. That dinim, that they're responsible. According to the Rambam, again, that they're responsible for dinim mominus. According to him, they can't just make up their own. Just like the Rambam says, for example, that as far as the rest of their religion, we don't allow them to make up new ceremonies and whatever of their own. They have their mitzvahs, and that's that. So he would hold similarly. Interesting. I once read a long time ago that there was a translator in the 1600s. In 1600s, there were people in Holland and other places that were getting interested in the Gemara and in Halacha because they figured they can use it as a basis for international law. A fellow named Hugo Grotius, for example, the big name in that. So during that period, they translated parts of the Gemara, maybe all of it, I don't know, into Latin. And apparently Thomas Jefferson was interested enough in it that he had a copy of one of these Latin translations above a comma or something, and he could find it. Eventually, it wound up in the Library of Congress. Anyway, so the Rambam says, based on that, then, therefore, so now you have a nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan, who learns dinim from the word vayitzav, and Rabbi Yitzchak, who learns it from Elikim. If you say it's from vayitzav, then it means that it has, then it means it can be that it's whatever kind of dinim they come up with are fine. As opposed to if you say you learn it from Elikim, then it means it has to be the dinim that Hashem gave up. And therefore, that would be according to that opinion that they have to use our dinim on this. Fine. Getting back to the Gemara, Amar Rava, Umi Ikal Manda Omar Akum Shasah Vidazar of Leishtakal Sayyid. So you're telling me then that you're telling me, at least according to one opinion, that if a goy makes an idol and doesn't actually worship it, he would be chayev. But we learn in a b'raisa, ba'akum, the general rule of as far as Avodah Zarah is as follows: Dvarim shebeist in shayistrom misin aleihem ben noyach muzer aleihem. Anything that a Jewish based in, if a Jew had committed this particular avera, this type of Avodah Zarah or any of the other mitzvahs or whatever, that a Jewish based in would kill for it, ben noyach muzer aleihem. And then a ben noyach is also warned not to do them, and we'll get to later on in Zion which of those he'd be executed for, but at least he has those are included as part of his Sheva Mitzvahs. Ain based in Shoritzom. If anything that based in Shoritzom is missing Aleihem. On the other hand, ain based in Shoritzom is missing Aleihem. On the other hand, if it's something that a Jewish based in wouldn't kill somebody for, namely there are certain things involving Avodah Zarah that are not punishable by death. They're also, they're lavim, but they're not punishable by death. We'll see an example. That's one example of making an Avodah Zarah. Ain ben Noyach Muzer Aleihem. And a ben Noyach is not warned not to do those. So the question is, so what are we coming to exclude? Wouldn't we be excluding by that, for example, a goy makes an idol and doesn't worship it? If a Jew makes an idol and doesn't worship it, he is over on an isser, he's over on a lav, and he's chayav malchus, but he's not chayav misa. Apparently, according to this rule.
He makes it for a goy?
It doesn't matter whether he makes it for himself or a goy, whatever. But he's not chayiv misa for that. Misa would be only if he worshipped the Avodah Zarah using one of the four avodas that are common to all Avodah Zarahs, or the particular avoda that's specific to this Avodah Zarah, or he says keli after or whatever. We'll deal with it later on in the parak. We'll get into all that. No, not anything that's in that. That's the difference of chayiv misa. You're not chayiv misa for kabbalas avichavasi for not doing kabbalas avichavasi nechal, for example. You're not chayiv misa for loisis as shem al shem like hefal ashov. No. So according to this rule then, a Jew is not chayiv misa for making an idol if he didn't yet worship it, so a goy shouldn't be muzer on it at all. What are you telling me, that there's a possibility that according to one way of looking at it, a goy might be chayiv for such a thing? The answer is Amar Papa Loi. No, Rav Papa says that's not what the Braisa is coming to exclude. L'mo'ote gifuf v'nishuk. No, the Braisa is not talking about making an idol at all. That might be a separate thing. Maybe Taka a goy is chayiv for that. But we're talking about, for example, hugging or kissing the idol. So the question is, gifu finishuk demai. Ilema kadarka. So what kind of case are we talking about? If that's the normal way of worshipping a particular idol, Bakhtalo, of course, and Yochai Mitzah. The general rule is any, just like Poyer, the Poyer, Zorik, Evan, the Merkulos, etc., which we'll deal with later in the parak, the same way, if there's a particular idol, that the normal way of worshipping it is to hug it or to kiss it, of course, for Yochai Mitzah, yeah. No, we have to be talking about a case where this isn't the normal way of worshipping it. The normal way of worshipping the Avodah Zarah is to go to the bathroom in front of it or throw stones at it or bring a carbon in front of it or whatever, all the different variations that are out there. This particular person loves this idol so much he decided to hug it or kiss it. A Yid who does that is not Chayv Mitzah. He might be Chayv Malkus, but he's not, whatever. But he would, at most, he'd be Chayv Malkus. He's not Chayv Mitzah. For that, a goy is not Muzer. A goy wants to kiss a statue, Gezuntehe. Not necessarily. Are we talking about, though, if he were to make one, maybe that would make him already Chayv Mitzah, as we said, if we're learning from Osur Lahem.
In that line of thinking, which is slightly different, are you allowed to have antiquities of Avodah Zarah from the goyim?
That's a whole different question, and that really gets into the whole matter of A, were they ever made to worship, and B, have they been, are they bottle? We'll deal with that in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. We'll talk in great detail about the, details of what kinds of statues are. Yeah.
They presumably have been
Not necessarily. Some of them were just made for decorative purposes. We'll see there. We'll see rules about how you know whether it was meant for worship or for decoration. Yeah. Okay. The question is, dinin b'nei noyach is good. So you're telling me that b'nei noyach are commanded on dinim, that they have a mitzvah of setting up bati dinim and judging and punishing, and according to the Ramban also in general doing mitzvahs dinim ominous. V'hatanya, but we learn about it. So es mitzvahs nisav yisrael b'mara. The Jewish people commanded 10 mitzvahs in mara, their first stop after kriyas yamsuf. Sheva shekibu alein b'nei noyach, namely the 7 that b'nei noyach had already accepted, the Eved that we gave them at that time.
The Ten Commandments.
No, not the Ten Commandments. That's later. V'yisifu alein dinim v'shabos v'kibud avein. And then the Eved added another 3. Dinim, Shabbos, and kibud avein. How do we know that? Dinim d'chtiv sham sam loichayko mishpat. Because the pasuk says there he made for him a law and a judgment. So mishpat implies dinim. Shabbos v'kibud avein d'chtiv, because by both of them, in the second repetition of the Aseret HaDibros in Parashat Vayeschanan, both of them it says, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem your God commanded you. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Kasher Tzivcha b'mara. It means that the Eved commanded you a few weeks ago in Mara. So those are the 3 that were added in Mara. So no, it's not the same as the Aseret HaDibros, because for example, Loisisa isn't in there, and on the other hand, Dinin is not specifically one of the Aseret HaDibros. So there's a certain amount of overlap, but they're not identical. Eved Menachai isn't in the Aseret HaDibros. So anyway, so the point is that it seems that the Goyim beforehand did not have Dinin among their Shevim Mitzvos Min HaNoach. That was added in Mara. No, but what we mean to say, when we say that the Eibishter added something in Mara, it means the Eibishter added the details that you need an Eida, you need, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Eida Shechetes, the Eida Matzelas, you need a group of 10 in the Beis Din who would stand up for the guy and 10 who would go against him, and then you need a few more to break the tie. The Eidim, the fact that you need 2 Eidim, as we're going to learn later on, Ben Noyach can be judged by 1 aid, the Hasra, and the fact that you need Hasra. So those were added. Question is, Yehoshua, if you're going to explain like that, my vahisifu alein dinin, what do you mean that dinin were added? Those aren't dinin, those are mitzvahs that apply to dayanim, how dayanim should judge. Dinim implies something that has to do with the dinim themselves. Yeah. And the Yad Ramah says another vote on it, that also, if you're saying like that, that you need aid of aidim v'hasra, then it kind of limits the application of justice. For example, you can only do it if you have 2 aidim. So that's not a big deal, that's taking away. No, Rava says, rather what we mean, what was added in Mara, is dinik knosis. Things like chatinezek, or the surety that you pay if your ox gores an eved, boishes, etc., all those various other kinds of things. Okay. Question is, akati v'hoisipu b'dinin mi boilei. Fine, but then the expression shouldn't be v'hoisipu dinin, implying that the whole concept of dinin was added. It should say v'hoisipu b'dinin. There was an addition within the halachas of dinin. Sifra len dinin implies that there was no dinin before. Elo amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, lo nitzrucha elo l'hoishu beisdin b'chol pelach o pelach b'chol ir v'ir. No, the chiddush that was done in Mara is the Eibishter gave them a mitzvah that you have to set up a basin in every district and in every city, in every large city. That the B'nai Noach didn't have up until that point. It was enough to have like one Supreme Court or whatever. Mm-hmm. question is, v'hovin and noyach le'yich. Good. Fakir, you're telling me the goyim did not have that mitzvah? V'hatani, we learn in a b'raisa, k'shem sheni tzavu Yisrael l'hoshe bat edinin v'chol pelach o pelach v'chol le'ir v'ir. Just as the Jewish people are commanded to set up bat edinin in every district and in every city, kach nitzavu b'nei noyach l'hoshe bat edinin v'chol pelach o pelach v'chol le'ir v'ir. When would they have gotten it later? There was no mitzvahs given to Bnei Noach after that. You had the ones that were given to Adam, and then they were re-given to Noach, and then that's that. That's that. There's never a time again.
After Mora?
No, Mora is for the Jewish people.
Right.
Now, there is the concept. It is true that Amnon says that Goyim have to keep their Shev Mitzvahs Bnei Noach because the Eivishter gave it to us at Har Sinai, meaning the Eivishter reaffirmed at Har Sinai that they have these Shev Mitzvahs. But nevertheless, though, nothing new was added for them because they weren't there by Har Sinai. You can't give them new mitzvahs if they're not present. Yeah, fine, but still, I mean, there is addressed to Jewish people.
When did Hashem go to the nations?
That was before that, but fine. He offered them, do you want the Torah? And they turned it down because of one of the existing mitzvahs, but not that the Eibishter was offering them new mitzvahs at that time, yeah. Ella, Omar Rava, no. So Rava says, never mind any of the other answers. Hi Tana, the Tana of this Braisa that learns that one of the things that was added in Mora is Dinim, which again implies Bnei Noach did not have that before at all. That is Tana Dvei Menashe. That is a Tana from the Yeshiva of Menashe. Dematik Dach Ba'ayel Sach. He says, I agree there are Shavim with this Bnei Noach, but I'm subtracting two of them from the list that we said before, Dalad for Dinim and Chos for Birkas Hashem. He holds that Bnei Noach are not Muzer on those. And instead he puts in two other ones. Sirus, which we learned at the top of the Amud that there was an opinion. According to him, that according to Tanaz Vemanasha, they don't have the details of Direct. They don't have the concept of Dinim. The Chof, so the Chof stands for Birkas Hashem. Not always is it the first letter of the name.
To bless Hashem.
No, okay, Birkas Hashem we learned before. It means actually it's a euphemism, it's cursing. So according to Tanaz Vemanasha, they're not Muzer on that. It may well be Osir to them, but it's not considered one of their official mitzvahs. And instead he puts in Sach, namely Sirus and Kishuf, which we learned at the top of the Omer. We had Rav Chanina ben Gamliel we had Rav Chizka saying that Sirus is one of their mitzvahs that they're officially told not to do. Rav Shimon saying also Kishuf, and Rav Yossi adding to that. So Tanad Ve Menashe says those are indeed among the Shev Mitzvah Menaya.
Kishuf was created
by Shem, of course. Okay. The Tana Dvei Menashe, as in fact Tana Dvei Menashe learns, Shevim mitzvahs v'nechtavu b'nei noyach, the b'nei noyach have seven mitzvahs, avadizoto v'gila arayus v'shpithos damim, gezel v'evim v'nachai, find five of those are the same from the other list, sirus v'kalayim. So there you go. So that's it. According to his list, there is no dinim in there.
And he takes that.
He takes the original list and takes that from the dinim and birkas Hashem and puts it instead sirus and kalayim.
But on the basis of what?
We'll see. Well, on the basis of, we learned before, that we had the opinion that say that they're also in Sirus sometimes.
Yeah, I know, but when we take
okay, so we're going to see soon. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira oimer achal birkas Hashem. Sorry, I skipped the line. Rabbi Yehuda oimer odom erushim lenit tzava el alav edezorah bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there was actually only one mitzvah given to odom erushim, namely avodazara, aside from the itadat. Of course, that's a one-time thing. Tosfos points out, but we're talking about for all time. The only one was Avodah Zarah. Shenem Vaitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam, as it says, Hashem Elokim commanded man. And we learned before that the Eidu Vaitzav that he learns Vaitzav Hashem Elokim means Hashem commanded about his divinity to Adam. Vaitzav Hashem that I am Elokim, and therefore don't worship anything else. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, I'm Achal Birkas Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says also Hashem gave him a mitzvah of Birkas Hashem. Same thing, we learn it from Elikim, just like we say Elikim lo yisakalo, which has a double meaning. It means don't curse a dayan, and it means don't curse the Eivishter. So by Tzav Hashem Elikim can also include that. V'yashemim Achal Adinim, and some say that also a third mitzvah was given to other Medishin, namely Din, which we also learn from Elikim, that you should fear me. You should fear me, don't fear boss of Adam and pervert justice. So the Gemara says, Kaman oz lahod omer of Yehuda omer Rav. According to which of these opinions would the following statement that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav be as follows? That the Eivishter says, Elikim ani, the Eivishter says to Adam, I am Elikim, I am Hashem, loise kalaluni, don't curse me, Elikim ani, I am Hashem, loise miruni, don't exchange me for anything else.
More.
And, yeah. And Elikim ani yehei meroi aleichem, and I am Elikim, my fear should be upon you. Come on, which of these opinions would that be like? That would be like Yeshayim. Yeah, okay, aleichem meaning you and all your descendants, the entire human race. So Yesh Omrim would say that. They would say those are the three mitzvahs that were given to Adam. They learn all those three out from Word of Lakim. So according to Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, yeah, that's what it means. They're just telling Adam only those three. So the question is, where, as you said, where does Tana Dvei Menashe get their list from? Tana Dvei Menashe idorish vayitzav. If they're going to darish in the pasuk vayitzav Hashem alekim, like we did before, afilo hanachnami, then Birkas Hashem and dinim should be included as well, because we learned them from the respective words in the pasuk. That Eloi Dorish Vayitzav, and if he doesn't learn from the Pasuk Vayitzav, Hanim and Olai, then where does he get? Sirus and Kil, where does he get any of his seven? The five that he shares in common with the Tanoim from before, plus Sirus and Kilayim, where is he getting them from? The answer is Lo'olam Loi Dorish. No, he's getting
it from the Vayitzav.
Yeah, that's the point, especially where you're getting Sirus and Kilayim from in their answer. Yeah. So the answer is Lo'olam Loi Dorish Vayitzav. No, he's taken not Darshaning from Vayitzav, but he holds Tanat Vemenasha. He holds, you can find in other psukim, you find each one of these seven things that he mentions, including Sirus and Kilayim, are included, including Sirus and Kilayim, sorry, I said Kishuv before, I should have said Kilayim, rather. We had another opinion before, again, at the top of the Amud that said that they're also in Kilayim. No, not Kishuv, but Kilayim. Sorry, that's what Tana Dvei Menashe said, Sirus and Kilayim. So he has said, you can find Sukkim elsewhere in Chumash that express that Bnei Noach are commanded on each of those seven, without having to use the Pasuk Vayitzav at all.
Where?
Namely, Avodah Zarah, Vigila, Arayas, Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says before the Babel, Shachet Ha'aretz Lifnei Ha'alekim, it says the earth was corrupt before the Eishter, and therefore they were punished.
No,
1 second, we'll get to it. We're going to go through the entire list. He also has to have Torah Zorah and Gilad Ayis, because he's not using from Vayitzav, so he has to have other. So that's what we're going to go through one by one. So those two says Vatishachas Aretz Lifnei Elokim, the earth was corrupt before the Eibishter, and then they were punished with the Mabul. If they're punished with the Mabul, implies that they had to have been warned not to do these things. The Tanad Veda Bishmal, and Tanad Veda Bishmal says V'chol Makom Shenema Hashchosa, any place where the Torah uses the expression corruption. It means only matters of erva of arayis and avodas kechavim and avodas zara. Dvar erva, we know that hashchasa means erva. Shenema kihishches kabasa darka, because the pasuk says every flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And Rashi explains the word darka implies having relations, like a pasuk derech gever ba'alma. Rashi points out at the end of Parshas Bereishis, you have the bnei ha'lekim stole the bnei sa'adam and took them. And then the Medrash says on that it means that even an Eishes Ish, even a Behemo, whatever they fancied. Yeah, so that's a riot. Avodah Kechavim, Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk, Pentashchisun Vatsisun Begomer, that you shouldn't become corrupt and make for yourself a statue and worship it. So we see that the word corruption, Hashkasa, applies to Arayas and Avodah Zarah. So that takes, so with two of them we get from that pasuk.
Kilayim.
No, we'll get to Kilayim, relax. First of all, we'll go through in order. The Idach, so what would the other Tana answer to that? What do we do with those Sukkim? He would say, okay, Urchayo to Kamagali, fine, the Pasuk is informing us what they were doing. He's saying the Azhara, the warning not to do it is from the Pasuk by itself. The Pasuk is letting us know later on, eventually the Dura Mabel did do these Averdas, and that is why they got punished. Not saying, not from here you learn that they were warned not to do these things, you learn that from Vayitzav, and here it's telling you what they actually ended up doing. Next, Shvichas Damim. Where does Tana Dvei Menashe learn that they're also in Shvichas Damim? Just this, because after the Mabul, it says, Shvichas Dama Adam Ugam. Anybody who spilled another man's blood will be punished. The Idach, and what does the Tana Kama say to that? He says, Kaplayo Huduch Magali. Okay, again, the Pasuk is not here giving you the warning you're not allowed to kill. It's telling you, if you kill, this is going to be the same. Okay, Gezel, Dichtiv, because the Pasuk also says, also there after the Mabul, the Eivishter tells Noach, Yerek Esav Nasati Lachem Eskoil, that I've given you everything, meaning meat, up until that point they weren't allowed to eat meat, that I've given you everything to be like the plant, like the herbs, like the plants of the field. Esav, Rashi points out, implies plants that grow on their own, as opposed to plants that are cultivated. The point of mentioning the word Esev is they don't think that it'll be like vegetables from a garden which are cultivated. Those you're not allowed to take because it's somebody else's garden. Those attack also to you. So again, what does the Tanakhama answer to that? Why doesn't he say you learn Gezel from that and he instead has to learn from Vayitzav? Because Ahu the Mishri Basa who da'asa, fine, that pasuk is coming to tell us a chiddush that now you're going to be allowed to eat meat. As opposed to up until that point, they weren't allowed to. Not that we're learning from that the concept of Gezel. that we're saying that just like you were allowed, just like up until now, you've been also in Gezel, but you're allowed Yerek Kesef, the same way, now the same rules are going to apply to meat. You're allowed to eat meat to the tester, but not if it belongs to somebody else. Because that's what he said, because earlier in the pasuk, the Eidr is telling him that now after the Mabul, any living creature you'll be able to eat, Yerek Kesef, as long as you're, we're going to learn later on, and we're going to learn in a couple of blocks that before the Mabul, the Adam was not, according to the majority opinion over there, Adam was also to eat meat, and that's how it remained until the Mabul. And then after the Mabul, they're allowed to eat meat. Different Mepharshim talk about different ideas. One interesting idea is all the animals owed Noach their lives because they were all saved in the Mabul, they were all saved in the Teva. So therefore, in return, now he gets to be able to eat from them. There's other ideas. Some of the Rishonim, I think, but I'm talking about the idea that before the Mabul, people were very healthy. You see, they lived 800-900 years, so they didn't need meat. Mashenkin, and after the Mabul, people were getting weaker, so therefore they needed that or something like that. I think somebody said, it might be Rav Shamshon or Hirsch, I don't remember, that the problem was before the Mabul, because you weren't able to eat meat, people started thinking of themselves, okay, so we're just another kind of animal, as if, like the pita nicks nowadays. After the Mabul, they just clarify that and says, no, you're on one level and the animal's on another. Yeah. Because if we can't eat other animals, obviously it must be because they're not, because we're not any greater than them. So in that case, we might as well act like animals. Yeah. Onward. Eva Menachai, where do we see that Goyim are not allowed to eat Eva Menachai? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, "Ach bosa b'dam b'nafshe dam le'sechelu." Again, in that same section, the Eibush tells Noach, however, blood that has its life still in its blood, meat that has its life still in its blood, you should not eat. That's Eva Menachai. The Idach, whereas what does the Tanakham answer? Ahu the Mishri Shrutz Mudasa. No, the point of that pasuk is to tell us that you're allowed to eat Shrutzim. Later on, we're going to learn towards the end of the Sugya about Shev Mitzvah Noach that Shrutzim, because their blood is not considered in Halacha something separate from their flesh, which is Negeah as far as Hilchos Toma, for example, because Shrutzim are little creatures, they're amphibians or they're reptiles or whatever they are exactly, so they're a different kind of life form than regular walking creatures. So therefore, so that's how it is. So
they still have blood.
Of course they have blood, but their blood is considered a different kind of thing in Halacha that as far as Hilchos Toma V'Tahara and whatever. So therefore, Goyim are allowed to eat Shrutzim, are allowed to eat Eva Menachai from Shrutzim. So that's that, according to the Tanakhama, that's what that pasuk is coming to teach us. Not the general, not in general Eva Menachai, but for us, like there, an exception to Eva Menachai. Sirus, where does Tana Dvei Menashe get that Goyim are also in Sirus? Because the Eibishter finishes off over there. Shirtu means swarm in the land and then multiply and be fruitful in it. So if you do Sirus, that goes against that. You're castrating an animal or a person or whatever. The Idach and the other opinion would say, Lebracha ba'alma, that's not a mitzvah. That's a bracha that you should be fruitful and multiply. No. What about Kilayim? What about how do we see where does Tana Dvei Menashe get that Goyim are also in Kilayim? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says before the Mabul, how are you taking the animals into the favor? From the birds according to their own kind. Meaning, in other words, you have to bring a male and female of each species, not that they can cross, so you're not allowed to crossbreed them. Apparently.
Maybe that just applies to male and female.
No, but that's
applied to Kilayim.
No, Kalayim means you take a male of one species and a female of another and then crossbreed them. The fact that the fact that Noach was told to take a male and female of each species rather than they crossbreed a male of one or a female of another, kind of them, and Asher says, that means, yeah. The Idach and the other opinion would say, oh, look, Tzav Sabalma. No, the Eibush is not telling him to take them along because otherwise they can't breed. No, the Eibush says, doesn't mean a statement. It means for company. So that each min should have a member of its own species for company. Doesn't mean that there would be a
animals.
Yes, I am animals is such a thing as company. Sure. Yeah. All right. So that's that. So that's that. That's how Tana Dvei Menashe gets his list of shonim. By the way, I mean Rishonim talk about the idea. There are definitely other things that goyim have a mitzvah to do. Some of them we'll deal with later on in the sugya of Shemitz and Nenayah. For example, many Rishonim say that they are chayiv in the mitzvah of tzedakah. We don't count it among the Shev Mitzvahs in Enoyach because, first of all, the Shev Mitzvahs only include things that are loisa says, even dinim is to a certain extent a loisa se. Don't allow the guilty to escape punishment with zakeh as a mitzvah that day. And also, basically, we're only listing in the Shem Mitzvah. Well, now we're going to get into the question, which ones are Chayiv Mitzvah? So we'll get into that. The Machzone is going to be that all of them are. So therefore, anything they're not Chayiv Mitzvah for is not included in the seven. They are, for example, the Rambam writes, you know, so we said that, you know, we said about Sirus and Kilayim, for example, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that they are also in those things, in Sirus and Kilayim. However, they're not Chayiv Mitzvah for them. Therefore, they're not included in the seven.
Yeah. Are they Chayiv Mitzvah when they do Sirus to a Yid?
So, no, Sirus is Sirus. It wouldn't
Sirus
mean,
is Sirus.
Sirus is Sirus, right? Well, I mean, okay, I don't know. Okay. All right. Amr of Yosef. Amri Bei Rav, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, Al Sholosh Mitzvah Ben Noyach Nera, Gesher Simon, that for three of these Shem Mitzvahs Ben Noyach, a goy can be executed if he's over on them. Al Gile Arayas, Vashkut, Zaman, Val Birkat Hashem. Okay, Maski for Rav Sheshes, so Rav Sheshes asked, where are you getting that from? Bishleim a shpichus damim. I can understand why you're saying that a goy is chayav mitzvah for shpichus damim tzchiv, because the pasuk says there by noyach shayfach dam adam gomer. Whoever spills man's blood, his blood will be spilled. That's mitzvah. Elahanach menolahu. But where are you getting that a goy is chayav mitzvah for gilui arayis and for birkas Hashem? E gomer a shpichus damim. If you're going to learn from shpichus damim by binyan ad, you're going to say once it says by shpichus damim, then it applies everywhere else. After the kulu nami, then it should apply to all the other six as well.
E mishpachasu.
Yeah. No, not in the same pasuk. If we're saying, if we're going to do a binyan av, and we're going to say once the Torah says v'shpichas damim, then it applies to all other mitzvahs that goyim are muzer on, then it should apply to all of them. And if you're going to say because we learn it extra from the word ish, namely that by Gilui Arayis and by Birkas Hashem, by both of them, the pasuk introduces it by saying ish, and ish means both Jews and goyim. Well, then in that case, Avodah Zarah Nami is Shabbai Mi'ish. In that case, Avodah Zarah also, it says the expression by Moloch. It says Ish, who brings its children to Moloch.
And therefore?
So therefore, then you should have to say there's four of them, not just three. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Shvichus Damim, and Birkas Hashem. Elom, Rav Sheshit. No, you're right. Amri Bei Rav, they say in the Yeshiva of Rav, Al Avim, it's just Ben Noyach Ner, yeah, just tack a four out of the seven. Yeah. So the question is, you're telling me that a goy is nerag, can be executed for Avodah Zarah? But we have a braisa, which we quoted just before, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and any kind of action that if a Yid had done it, a Jewish basin would execute him for, worshipping it, for example, Ben Noyach Muzer Alei, and then Ben Noyach is warned not to do those things, and warning, Lechora implies, Azhara Ein Misalei, it implies they're warned not to do it, but not that they're necessarily Chayiv Mitzvah for it.
We're doing the same, the opposite of what we're saying for Kiyidin. When there is
Azhara,
there is
Misa. No, but
here we're
saying
Azhara.
That's what we're asking. That's what we're asking. But the answer is, Amr of Nachbait, Azhara Shalahem Zui Misas. Just the other way around. When we say that they're muzher, means once they're warned not to do such things, it means that automatically means misa. It means automatically misa. We said before that by Jews the concept of asra was added. By goyim you don't necessarily have that. So there are Rishonim who learn. Well, Azhara means warning them. Azhara, Azhara, it's similar. I mean, but it's a similar idea. But what we're going to say later on is, there are Rishonim who learn that if a goy is over on his averus for shogig, Rashi, for example, says it later on that if a goy is over on his mitzvah even for shogig, he's still chayiv mitzvah. When we say as Torah Shalahem Zuri Misaf, it means they were warned to begin with not to do them. The Rambam and the Rama take a different tack on it. They say yes and no. Depends what kind of shogig. If the shogig was, for example, If the shogig was that, for example, he thought this particular woman was his wife, and it turns out it's his mother, let's say, or whatever, that's one thing. That he'd be puzzled for. On the other hand, if it's that he says, I didn't know, then, as they say in English, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
I
didn't know the law. Then tough luck. It's your responsibility to know the law. Whereas according to Rashi, any case, even the first case, would be, yeah. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, the whole of Talmidim of Rav Amri. On the other hand, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda and all the rest of the Talmidim of Rav said, Al Shev Mitzvahs ben Noach Nehreg, a goy is taka chayev mitzvah for all seven of the mitzvahs in Enoch. Gali Rachmona v'chod of Uadin Mechulu. Yes, the Torah spells it out by one of them, namely Shvichos Damim, and we're meant to learn by Binyanav that it applies by the rest of them as well. Binyanav means the Torah tells us something in one place, Binyanav because of Echad, and we're meant to apply it to all similar ones. So here, since the Torah gives since the Eidusha gave the goyim Shev Mitzvahs, and the Torah spells out by one of them that they're chayav mitzvah, shofet dam adam b'adam gav yishofet, then it means it's meant to be applied to all the others. Okay. So the question is about la gezel ben noyach neherag. You're telling me that a goy can be executed for gezel? V'atanya, but we learn in a
bright.
Well, that's what we're asking. Or even if, yeah, from the binyanav, but how can that be? V'atanya, but we learn in a bright. Ala gezel, as far as gezel, ganav gozel, for example, if a guy steals or robs, v'chein yifas toya, or similarly with yifas toya, v'chein kayyitz behen, or similar kinds of things. We'll see soon in the Gemara, we'll discuss what...
Gezel doesn't
what
mean stealing. It means...
The literal meaning of gezel means... the literal meaning of gezel means to grab something out of somebody else's hands. But we're going to see soon what it means over here. Anyway, so and similarly with other similar things, the Gemara will explain soon what we mean by similar things. Kusi b'kusi, kusi over here really means goy, or nochri, or whatever, it's changed by the censor. Kusi b'kusi, if one goy does it against another goy, b'kusi b'yisrael, or goy does it on a yisrael, is osir. B'yisrael b'kusi mutter. On the other hand, if a yisrael does it to a goy, it's mutter. Now, it doesn't mean, I mean, we learned back in Bava Kama, we had a machloikas about whether Gezel Goy is Mutter or not. We said that we had an opinion that it's Osir, and then we had an opinion it's Mutter, but where it involves a matter of Chil Hashem, then it's Osir on those. Here we seem to be going according to the opinion that says that Midyar Dai says it's Osir, the Rabbanon, it's a matter of Chil Hashem, so you do so.
Any Goy that practices of it is Ara.
No, any Goy.
Any Goy.
Any Goy. Yes. Anyway, the im is, and now if you're going to tell me that a goy who steals is chayev nisa, nisni chayev. Why is it saying that if a kusi does it, or a goy does it against a goy, or a goy does it against a yid, is osur, implies he's osur to do it, but he's not chayev nisa, it should say he's chayev. The answer is mishum de kaboy l'misni seifi, yisrael b'kusi mutter, because the next part of the bright is continuing that a yisrael does it to a goy is mutter. And we couldn't have used the expression potter, because potter would imply he's also to do it, but he's not chayv mitzvah, and that's not the case. We're saying, according to this opinion, it's mutter entirely. Again, it's only also midrabanan as a matter of chil Hashem. So therefore, for parallelism, tanarish also. So therefore, for the beginning of the brayta starts by saying also, even though it's not really accurate, so it should really be chayv. You can't say chayv in one half and mutter in the other half. It doesn't flow. Question is, but you do see that there are other cases in that same braisa where when there's a chiyuv nisa involved, it does explicitly use the word chayev. The katani reisha, namely, we have the earlier part of that braisa says al shvichos damim. When it comes to shvichos damim, again kusi b'kusi b'kusi b'yisrael chayev. One goy kills another, or a goy kills a yid, then he's chayev. And here it doesn't just say author, it says chayev. Yisrael b'kusi potter, whereas if Yisrael kills a kusi, he's potter. So, again, we see that it says the word chayev, and against it potter, so why in the sefer can't it do that? The answer is hosam hechilisti. Because, after all, in the first part of that braisa, you have no choice but to use the word chayev and potter. Listni osir umutter, you can't say, the braisa could not have used the word osir, that for a goy it's osir, but for a yid it's mutter to kill a kusi. V'hatanya, because we learn in a braisa, kusi v'rei v'hem adakul le mylin v'lem iridin. Because a braisa elsewhere says that a goy, or a roya v'hem adakul, somebody who pastures small cattle, small animals rather, sheep and goats or whatever, where they eat from other people's fields and they cause a lot of damage. Loy mylin v'loy meridin. We don't bring them up, but we don't throw them down. Meaning, in other words, let's say if one of them is in a pit or otherwise his life is in danger, we don't bring them up out of there.
Wow.
Wait. But on the other hand, we're not allowed to throw them in. On the other hand, when it's loy mylin v'loy meridin. So the Braisa could not have said that it is mutter, because that would imply it's mutter to kill them, and that's not the case, loy meridin. So it had to use the word potter. So therefore, for parallelism, it uses chayev by the goy. But in the second part of the Braise, Hakesh couldn't have used the word kotzer, so therefore it had to use mutter, and once it uses mutter, it uses osu. Now, it is true that a lot of the Rishonim say that this concept of kusi, lemailan v'lemiridin, applies only taka if they don't keep the Shem Mitzvahs in a night. If they do, and there are some Rishonim who... No, anywhere. If they do keep, and there are some respectable opinions among the Rishonim that say that by and large the Goyim of nowadays do, that their religions more or less comport with Shem Mitzvahs and Enayach, then therefore then this din wouldn't apply.
Majority of Poskim
say that? I don't know the majority, but you have definitely opinions. A good size. But also, I mean, there's also, of course, the matter of Eva. There's also a Rolun in Masechta Abadazara that anyway, some of the various dinim that we're going to have over there about interactions between Jews and Goyim are waived when it's going to cause Eva, when it's going to cause bad feelings between... No, because for example, so the Gemara discusses over there. Let's say, as far as the Loy Milan, let's say for example, so the guy is in the pit and there's a ladder over there. So let's say for example, you say, "I'm sorry, I need the ladder someplace else," and you take it, something like that, whatever. But the point, in other words, you do it in a way that doesn't necessarily make it obvious that you're doing it. And the Shabbos Loy Milan Loy Merid. There is that. Well, Dina Demachos the Dina primarily applies to Dina Mamonis. It doesn't necessarily apply to other areas of Halacha.
Oh, really?
But again, I mean, there's no question. There's no question that if you do it in a way that's called a chilul Hashem is going to cause Eva, then there's nothing to talk about. Chilul Hashem is pretty serious stuff. Yeah. All right. Okay. Going back to the Braise, we said that Gana v'Gazel v'chein yifatir v'chein kayotze. So now let's go through and see kayotze v'Gezel ma'izin. What do we mean? Something similar to Gezel. Gezel itself means that you grab something out of the other person's hand. What is similar to that? That we're saying that a goy to another goy or a goy to a yid would be osur, if you said even chayim. What does that mean? Omer of Achba Yaakov lenitzu chayel apoyel b'keren. What the Braise is talking about is, for example, a worker in a vineyard eating from the grapes. So the question is poyel b'keren emas. Well, when are we talking about him eating? Either Shas Gemar Malacha, if we're talking about during the time, for example, he hired him to harvest the grapes and then he's eating from them on the job, fine, that's authorized. Potato. That's Mutter. We learned back in Bava Matzia all about the dinim about that. That yes, a worker has the right to eat on the job. We learned there, technically he could eat as much as we had an opinion in the Mishnah there that there's a limit, but then we said the halacha is not like that. The halacha is he can eat as much as he wants, but practically speaking, he'd do well to control himself, otherwise he'll find himself out of jobs. The point is, first of all, Rashi says the Braise is saying that a yid is allowed to do it to a goy, implying that a yid is not allowed to do it to another yid, and that's not the case. If a yid is working in another yid's vineyard, he is allowed to eat of the grapes at that time. And besides that, also, how could he say that it's also for a goy and mutter for a yid? We've said before that in general, you don't have such a thing that something is mutter to a Jew and also to a goy. So it can't mean that. And if we're talking about the worker eating not at the time of Gemar Malacha, let's say, for example, he's just watching the fruit and he eats it or whatever, or he's digging around, he's hoeing around it or whatever, Gezel Malyahu, then it's full-fledged Gezel. Yid is not allowed to eat from that at that time, and of course a goy is not allowed to, but that's included.
Means
when he's harvesting them. But for example, let's say you hired somebody, let's say, to prune your vines. He's not allowed to eat from the grapes at that time. So of course, a goy is not allowed to eat. They're fine, but that's included under the general heading of Gezel. You don't need a separate thing to say kayot. It's similar to
fruit during the collection.
Then he's allowed. No, what the Braise means when it says kayot means he steals less than a shav krota. The question is, what do you mean? Hachi kusi b'Yisrael also. So what do you mean that a goy is not allowed? A goy is also and would be chayav nisa for stealing less than a prota from a yid? How by mechilahu? A yid can be meichel.
If a goy were
to steal less than a prota from a yid, we're saying it's not considered gezel, but it's considered similar to gezel, and we would say that a goy is also in it. and maybe even chayiv mitzah. But why? The a yid is moichel on less than a shavu prota. The answer is nihid b'asa hachi machalai. Fine, okay, the yid is moichel afterwards. Tzair b'shaite milaslei. But after all, the yid has tzair from it at the time, so it is gezel. Now Rashi learns that the point is, therefore, what
job.
Therefore he is considered gezel. He wouldn't have wanted to give up that less than a prota.
Even if he doesn't have the sorry, it's considered gezel.
No, but the point is, in other words, that it is that's the point. In other words, he missed out that he wanted that less than shovel prota at the time, the yid, and now this guy went and took it away from him. So fine, he's moichel afterwards. So Rashi says what it is like this. Really, if a yid were to steal less than another shavu prota from another yid, then he would actually then it is osur, but he's not over on the mitzvah of loisigzo because it actually learns only if there's a mitzvah of hishavu, only if there's a mitzvah of returning it, can he say that you're over on the mitzvah of gezel. No mitzvah of returning, because we assume a yid is meichalet, then therefore there's no chiyuv of gzela in the first place. It's osur for him to do, but it seems from Rashi's wording that the goy does not have the mitzvah of the heishev esagzela. He's chayev mitzvah for it, and that's it. And therefore, he's not accomplishing the mitzvah of the heishev esagzela. So that's what we mean. So kusi b'kusi kayotze b'hem. Actually, that's a question. But wait, no. So the point is, in other words, so therefore, that's what we're saying. Kayotze b'hem. It's not full-fledged gezel in that sense, because gezel would be only if it was a shavu prota. Because it was less, we're calling it kayotze b'hem. Nevertheless, a goy would still be chayav for it. Even though the yid is moichel afterwards, nevertheless, though, still, at the time, he read at the beginning, he wasn't moichelet, and there can't be the heishiv, because the goy instead is chayiv mitzvah for it, so that's that.
Why don't we say kayotzeh? Goy doesn't mean less than a shor prota.
Well, we have to figure that out, so we're trying to figure out what kayotzeh by word is. What if there's something that is similar to gezel, but not actually gezel? So now we found it. The problem with that is, kusi b'kutzi kayotzeh behen. Fine, but what are you saying, that you have something similar? If one guy steals from another guy, given the lav b'nei mechilaninu, since goyim are not moichel, are not capable of, or are not moichel on less than a shavu prota, either because one possibility could mean that it's cheap, that they're cheap. The other is again because they have no mitzvah of hishava and they have no mitzvah of hshavas hegzela to each other, so it doesn't matter if prota or less than a prota. Either way, it's still mum. That's one possible way of learning it. But the other possible way is maybe they would be able to be moichel, but there's no mitzvah of the heishiv. Yeah. Anyway, gezel mal yahu. So then it should be considered full fledged gezel. So again, what are you saying? Kayotze bo. Elo amar rav acha b'rei d'ravika menitzuchel lekovish tzchar tzaki. No, the chiddush is that the chiddush of the braisa, when we say kayotze bo, would mean, for example, if a person holds back the wages of a hired worker. That can't be considered full-fledged gezel, because gezel implies you actually take it away by force from the other guy. Here you're not taking away anything, you're just not paying him. Yeah, you're keeping. So, kusi b'kusi b'kusi b'Yisrael also. So if a goy were to do that to another goy, or a goy were to do that to his Jewish hired worker, it would be also, and it would be considered a form of gezel. Yisrael b'kusi mutter, whereas a yid to do that to a goy would be mutter, again, according to the opinion that gezel goy is mutter midaraita and only also midrabanan because of chilul Hashem. The halacha, if I remember correctly, is it is also daraita. Also is also either way, but I don't remember what we learned there in Baba Kama, what the maskana was, but yeah. Rashi points out, we're not going to ask about what's kayotze behen when it comes to ganav and try to find a case of kayotze boy similar to gneva, because Rashi says, okay, fine, we can assume that the kayotze boy only applied to gezel, with the first thing mentioned, and yifat toyer, the last two mentioned, ganav and gozel, v'chen yifat toyer, v'chen kayotze behen, that the kayotze behen goes on gozel and yifat toyer. Well, fine, we'll assume it doesn't go on ganav, because the Gemara is not going to try to find something similar to gneva. But now we're going to ask, Zela would be what we just said. No, we just said the Maskana would be Klevish Tzchar Tzachar.
Okay.
So what about Yifas Toya? Kayotzeboi Yifastoya Maihi. What is an example of Kayotzeboi, something similar to Yifastoya, which is something similar to Yifastoya, which was saying a goy would be, which was saying would be also to a goy and be chayv misafor. He also Dimi Amar Avolaza Amar Chanina. An example would be like this: Ben Noach Yichid Shifcha La'avdo. If a Ben Noach set aside a particular shifcha, a knamis, that is, that she's designated for one of his avodim. They're kind of common law marriage. They're not maybe legally married, but practically speaking, she's designated for him. Uvala, and then later on, the goy, the master, has relations with her. Neragala. No, it's not really Mikudeshis. No, we're going to say later that actually there's no such thing as Sin by Goyim. There's married or not married. There's no in-between stages that there, like there are by us. But still, the fact that Yichud La'avdah, the fact that he designated her for his Eved, so if a Yid were to go and capture her, he'd be Mutter to her because she'd be a Yifastoya. But if a Goy who has her in his possession were to go and be mizana with her, neragala, then he could be executed for that. That's an example of kayotzeboi of yifastoya.
And he has relations with
and
her.
And later on, he takes her and has relations with her, then he'd be chayvit for that. That's what means kayotzeboi of yifastoya.
And a yid would not?
A yid, because the Torah especially is matter, yifastoya to a yid. You know, so kayotzeboi d'shvichos domim loitan. Now, the Braisa did not mention, when we said before, Kayotzeboi, the Braisa did not mention a case of Shvichos Damim, that you could say Kayotzeboi if there's something similar to Shvichos Damim, whether a goy would be chayav for it or not. Because on the face of it, we can't find. It's one or the other. Either he kills and he's chayav misa, or, for example, let's say if he's being pursued by somebody with intent to kill, l'chora, he should have the ability to kill that person, just like a yid does. However, if you're going to ever find such a braisa, then I will tell you what opinion it follows. Rabbi Yonasan ben Sholvi. You would have to say that opinion follows the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol. The Tanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Sholem, Roidef Acha Chaver Lohorgo. If one person is chasing after another with intent to kill him, the Yochal Hatzila Ve'Echa Me'Varav, and the Nirduf, the victim, the would be victim, is able to. We talked about this before in connection with the whole story of Yoav and Avner. If he would have been able to save himself to save himself or to save the other guy from doing the Aveira, there's two different ways of understanding what Matzila means. But anyway, the Echad Mevarav, by wounding him in one of his limbs,
instead of killing him,
the Loihi, the one instead he didn't do that, instead he killed the guy, Neragolov, then he can be executed for that. So, that's the point, in other words. So,
when you say he could have,
He had the ability. He would have been able to, in principle. He would have. You have to, bystanders, I guess, have to evaluate the situation. We have the whole story with Avner and Yoav.
Right. So he throws the spear. He could have missed or something.
No, he didn't throw the spear. He just did like that with it. But whatever. The point is, Yoav was arguing that you could have wounded him, and Avner was countering that I couldn't. But yes. So the point is, therefore, that's what we mean, Kayotzeboi. So if a guy does that to another guy, then he would be chayav nisa, because he could have done it in Echad Me'Varav. A goy to a yid, same thing. If the yid is chasing after the goy, the same thing. Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol holds the same thing is true as far as one yid and another yid. But if a yid were to, if it was the other way around, chayav nisa. One second. But if the other way around though, if a kusi or goy, whatever, was chasing after a yid, and the yid killed him instead of save, you asked me about this a couple of weeks ago, and the yid, instead of killing him, saved him, instead of saving him, Be'echad Me'Varav, actually killed him, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol holds that the yid is potter, fine, he's not chayav nisa for it, but it's still also for him to do. The Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol, would hold it would hold its mutter. So the actual halacha is like Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol. You are chayav, not chayav, it is also to do, yochal atzila Be'echad Me'Varav, and you didn't. It's tax alter. You know, you can't put the guy to death. You can't put the guy to death for it. I don't remember whether the goy l'adam can go after him, as we had in the story of Avner or Yoav. I don't remember the halacha on that. As far as though, if a goy were in such a situation and he did that, yes, he would be chayav misa. Yochal atzila Be'echad Me'Varav, and instead of doing one of the limbs, instead he killed the guy. Yes, he would be chayav misa. So that's what we're saying, Kayotzeboi, that there you have something similar, namely something which is osur to a yid, but he's potter for it from Misa, whereas a goy is not only osur, but chayv.
Sort of against the yid, against another goy.
Right. Right. If a goy is the would-be victim, and he's the one who he could have saved himself by wounding the attacker, and instead he kills him, then he would be chayv mitzvah. As opposed to for a yid, it's also for him to do that, but he's not chayv mitzvah for it. Another din, Rav Acha ba'Acha one time found the following written in a sefer of Agadta in the yeshiva of Rav. It said, Ben Noach nered b'dayin echad v'ed echad shaloi b'hasra. A Ben Noach can be killed on the basis of one dayin. All you need is one dayin. You don't need a full basin of 3 or 23 or whatever. Or v'ed echad, all you need is one aid. Shaloi b'hasra, you don't need hasra. Again, we discussed before whether that means even if he was completely shogig or other different types of shogig. Mipi'ish v'loi mipi'isha. However, the dayin and aid can only be men, not women. Ba'afil okarev, but on the other hand, they can be relatives. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Achala Obrin. In the name of Rabbi Shmuel, they said that also a Ben Noach can be killed for killing a fetus, an unborn baby. It would be include abortion. Rashi gives the example. Let's say he hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. Yeah. Okay. Menahani Mili. So where do we know all this from? Amar Yehuda to Amakra, the pasuk says again in what the Eivisha tells Noach after the Mabel, Achas Dimchem Anafshesechem Edrosh. However, your blood for your lives, I will demand it. Implying after the B'dayin Echad, that implies even if only one Dayan is judging it, because you don't have any indication over there that you need more than one Dayan. So then that's all it means.
What do you mean you don't have any?
If it meant that you need a certain number of Dayanim, it would have had to say so. Edrosh just implies that's it. I will demand it. In other words, somebody's got to punish him for it. It means bnei adam. Yeah. There are different dinim in those sukkim over there. You have dinim about that the Eibishta will deal with. For example, suicide is one of them. You have ones that are based in on earth. Is there a diet on earth they're supposed to deal with? Yeah.
How do you know it's not so good? Dimchem.
Dimchem, because this is addressed to Noach and his descendants. Miyad kochaya. Then, when the pasuk continues from the hand of every chaya, so chaya, in the simple sense, you would understand that it means from every animal. In other words, if an animal kills a person, then the Eibishter will punish that animal, or the Beis Din is responsible to, if in whatever cases. But here, we're darshaning chaya meloshen chay, any living person. So therefore, that means even if there was no hasra. Ed Rishenu Umiyada Adam. The pasuk continues. So actually, that is one of the explanations. Yeah, it means that. I think the Yad Rama says that. But it means just like a chaya, that there's no such thing as asura to a chaya. The same thing. There doesn't have to be asura to a goy. Ed Rishenu Umiyada Adam. We continue in the pasuk. I will demand it, and from the hand of man, Ha Adam, the man, meaning in the singular. Therefore, I feel the edafah. It means even one eighth. Miyad Ish, on the other hand, the pasuk continues, Miyad Ish, from the hand of a man, implying v'lo Miyad Ish, not from the hand of a woman. So only men can be the judges or the Eidim. Achiv, and when the pasuk continues, his brother implies, Achiv Kariv, even if it's a relative, can testify or judge on his behalf, unlike with you. Okay. Then we said, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Afala Ogrin.
What does it say? That's
no, well, these were overruled later on. These dinim of Bnei Noach are later on overruled for Jews in the Torah. Later on, you have the sub-pasuk that we learned before in the Masechta, lo yumsu avos abonim, abonim lo yumsu al avos, from which we learned the whole concept of Aegis craving being possible. Yeah.
But before that?
Before that, I guess.
We were Bnei Noach.
Before Matan Torah, we were all Bnei Noach, yeah. You have, by the way. I mean, there is quite a bit of discussion about from the time of Avraham Avinu and on, are we considered Bnei Noach, or are we considered already Jews or proto-Jews or whatever. That's the famous thing that it says that Yosef and his brothers argued on, that the brothers would shecht an animal and then they'd take meat from it while the animal is still moving around, not alive, that would be a chai, but while it's still moving around, while it's still convulsing around after the shechita, and they'd wait, the halacha is you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to cut off a piece after you shechted the animal, wait till the animal is dead, and then you can eat it.
But you can
cut it after the animal is shechted, but while it's still jerking around, whatever. It's not considered Eivim HaChai, whereas for Goyim it is. So Yosef told on his brothers to Yaakov that they're doing that because he held they're considered Bnei Noach. They held they're considered Bnei Yisrael.
So this was before Matantara.
This was before Matantara, obviously. So
how can we say that we were not Yidden before Matantara, which we had all these dinim and Avraham Avinu did the whole Torah?
He kept the whole Torah, but not because Avishai gave it to him. That's, you know.
It doesn't matter. If he kept the Torah, he was a Jew. Wasn't
he? Not necessarily.
So Avraham was the first one.
In a certain sense, yes, but in a certain other sense, for example, we learned back in Yevamos that we learned how do we know what are the stages that a person has to go through for Geirus, Milas, Vila, and how do we learn it from Matan Torah? We learn it from what we ourselves went through. Right? So we see that before that we were considered Bnei Noach, and after that we were considered Jews.
Besides Avraham Yitzchak, that's no question.
There's what?
The whole question about Bnei Noach.
No, it would apply to them also. For example, I mean, you one of the things when we're going to talk later on the Amud, so we'll get to tomorrow or whenever, about which arayas exactly are also to goyim or not. One of them we learn from what Avraham tells Avimelech, Gam Omna Achosi Bas Ovihi Achloi Bas Imi, that Sarah is my sister from my father's side and not from my mother's side, implying if she was his sister from his mother's side, she would be also to him as a Ben Nayak. But because she's a sister from his father's side, okay, technically she's not his sister, she's his niece. But the phrasing he's using implies that if she was a sister only from his father's side, okay, she's mother to him, which by Jews that's not the case.
When you say, okay, but you can, before Matan Torah, you could still be considered a Jew without all the name of Matan Torah. It's not because you don't have all the dinim of Matan Torah that you're not considered a Jew.
No. A Yid is...
What are you then?
Between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Matan Torah, in a certain sense, so it depends. You have different
incomplete Jews, but
you were
basically Jews.
But not necessarily. Not necessarily did the dinim of Jews completely apply to us. To a certain extent, the dinim of Bnei Noach applied to us. Okay, well, let's go on. Okay, then we said Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Lama Achal Urbim. We said they said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that a goy is also chayiv misa for killing an uber, an unborn baby. So the question is, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah, the halacha is actually like Rabbi Shmuel in that. Yeah. Which this is one of the rare cases actually where the halacha is stricter for goyim than for Jews. If a Jew performs an abortion, it's also but in a chayiv misa.
Depending on the stage.
Yes, it's also in any stage. It's also in almost any stage, unless with the help of the mother or whatever. But for goyim, we're saying there are poskim who hold that if a goy does it for the health of the mother, then it would be mutter. But that, I don't know if that's accepted. Anyway, So my time at Rabbi Shmuel. What is Rabbi Shmuel's reason? Just because the pasuk says shayfach dama adam ba adam dami yishof. The pasuk says whoever spills man's blood in or by man, his blood will be spilled. So we dash in shayfach dama adam ba adam. Ezo Adam Shuba Adam, where you have a person inside another person, Heve Em is a Ubershim Me'avid. That means an unborn baby. So there you go then. Shefech Dama Adam Ba Adam, Dama Yishafech. So it's Chayv Mitzah.
And why we don't apply that?
What do you mean we don't apply that?
We say we were not Chayv on earth.
No, we Jewish people are not, because again, for us it was overridden later by the Torah says. Same kind of idea. The Torah tells us in Parshas Mishpatim that it's called Nitna Torah v'Neschad Shehalacha. Once the Torah is given, new halachas come for us Jewish people. And the pasuk spells out in Parshas Mishpatim that if a person hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, he's only chayav to pay Dmei Vlodis. He has to pay the value of the unborn babies to the husband, as we learned back in Bava Kamma, but there's no chayav mitzvah.
But that's only Meshuggah.
The point still remains. By a goy, we said before that shogeg is also you don't need that.
Right.
Okay, that's the point. If a yid kills the maid, it's also not. By a yid, he's only chayev once the baby is born. Before that, it's not considered a full.
Even the maid.
Yeah, it's also a serious avera, but it's not. All right, fine. The Tanakama. What about the Tanakama against Rabbi Shmuel? How does he understand that pasuk? He says the answer is Tana Dvei Menashe. The Tana against Rabbi Shmuel is Tana Dvei Menashe, the same one who we said before holds that Dinim and Kit and Kilayim are included in Shemot Zisnei, and not Dinim, but Sidrus and Kilayim are included in Shemot Zisnei Nayach. And D'Omar, and he also says Kol Misa Hamrul of Nayach Ein El Chenek, and he holds that, unlike what we learned before, that misa for Bnei Noach means sayif, means for any of their seven mitzvahs, whichever ones they're going to be killed for, it would always be sayif, it would always be hereg. Tanad vayman, that's back of the halacha. However, Tanad vayman asha holds that rather it's chenek. Therefore, shodi lehi ba'adam ha-sefer dekra. Therefore, he says the word ba'adam goes together with the word dama yishafech. And he learns it like this. Ezeu shvichas damim shal adam shor begufe shal adam. What is shvichas damim? How is a person killed? Their blood spilled in a way where their blood remains inside the body. Begufe shal adam, ba adam. Heviyem is a chenek. That must be chenek. So therefore he holds on the basis of that pasuk, shvichas damim adam, ba adam damim yishafek. He gets killed by chenek. And then the same applies to the other mitzvah as well. Ba adam to that. As opposed to before, when we learned Ein Elasayif, when we learned on Nunvav, that kol misa amur b'neinayach Ein Elasayif, that opinion would agree with Rabbi Shmuel, that the word ba adam teaches us about unborn babies. And it doesn't teach us about the method of misa. Fine. Okay, mostly Rav Hamnuna. So now Rav Hamnuna asks the question. The Isha Lo Mifkida, so you're telling me that women do not have the mitzvah of dinim, because you just said before that the dayonim and the edim have to be men, even in the dinim of Bnei Noach. So you're telling me that women don't have those dinim. Voxib, but the Pasuk says...
They cannot be judges?
They can't be judges or dayonim. Voxib, but the Pasuk says, the Ebishter says about Avraham, so here you have an example where something from Avraham applies to Bnei Noach. Ki yidaiti v'man ashe yitzav v'gremer, that I know and I appreciate Avraham because he teaches his children, he teaches his children and his household, he teaches them tzedek or mishpat. L'chura mishpat means justice, implying that women should be involved in the justice system as well.
Teaches them doesn't mean they can be involved.
No, but that's what it means. They should keep the way of Hashem to do tzedakah and mishpah, implying that both of them, equal, all the members of his household, should be doing tzedakah and mishpah. The answer is humoristic law, humoristic law. He, Raham Nuna, asks the question, he also answers it. It means bonav ladin, beisel tzedakah. The Pasuk says that he teaches bonav and beisel. Bonav meaning his sons, he teaches them to do din, which is mishpah. Besai, meaning the women, he teaches them tzedakah. What we mean by tzedakah over here, some of the...
separates now.
Right. Some of the Rishonim hold that tzedakah over here means exactly what we think of as tzedakah, which is, as we said before, the possibility that goyim are chayiv and tzedakah is not considered one of the seven mitzvahs. Or the other possibility is tzedakah might be over here pshara, like making compromises. We learned back at the beginning of the Masechta, instead of going to a court case, you go and make a compromise.
Well, why can't you say tzedakah is tzedek and it's also justice?
Because not mishpat is justice. Mishpat is justice. Yeah. Apparently, according to that, yeah.
Arbitration, you're
saying. Yeah, arbitration, like that. Only if you solve a little problem.
Well, wait a minute, we say tzedek.
What do you mean tzedek?
Tzedek.
That's tzedek. That's a pasuk that says that's addressed to the Jewish people. That's at the beginning of Parashat Shoftim. That's addressed to us, not to the grain.
No, it's addressed to us, but it also means mishpat, doesn't it? Over there.
No, we said over there. Tzedek, primarily it meant shara, it meant tzedek adin. It includes rules for the judges to be fair and impartial and whatever. Fine, but okay. But basically, what we're saying. First of all, this is tzedakah. This is tzedek. It's two different things.
You could interpret tzedakah.
No, tzedakah and tzedek are not the same thing necessarily. We just had in Tanya the other day that Alfred ever points out a difference between them, that tzedakah is in the feminine form and then tzedek is in the masculine form, and therefore one refers to the mashpia and the other to the makabel, or one refers to one of them refers to tzedakah, like the, when you do the bare minimum amount, and the other is when you go beyond your usual amount, whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Beyond the letter of the law.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to give yourself a little puzzle. By that logic, shouldn't you say that if a bas noyach, if a goyish woman kills, she shouldn't be executed? Miyad ish v'lo miyad ish. So the pasuk says that the miyad ish achiv, from one person to his, from the hand of man to his brother, implying so if a woman kills, she shouldn't be chayv mitzvah. Yes, but on the other hand, the Torah says over there, and then the next pasuk says anybody who spills man's blood, implying anybody, man or woman, who spills a person's blood. So therefore, it has to mean both men and women. Fine, what about, you should say maybe that if a bas noyach is mezaneh, she shouldn't be executed. So the pasuk says, therefore man leaves his parents and then sticks to his wife, v'lo yisha, and find out a woman. Yes, but then the pasuk continues, they become one flesh, meaning the pasuk is recombining them. The pasuk starts off by saying ish, yes, but then it continues. Both of them have to be equally involved in becoming Vosar Echad, and neither of them can be Mizaneh. So okay, and then we'll continue with more on this with more on Shabbos and Nayach tomorrow. That's a shame. Yeah.